May God's Holy Spirit, which he sent at Pentecost, rest upon you today in his grace and favor. Amen. I'd like to begin on this day of Pentecost, this festival and celebration, with Exodus chapter 13, beginning at verse 17. And this speaks of the days in which God came to rescue his people out of the hands of Pharaoh and the evil taskmasters who were oppressing them. And this, we meet them freshly out into the wilderness, having escaped the territory of Egypt, and now God is with them in the wilderness. In verse 17, we read this. It says, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. But God led the people round by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the lands of Egypt, equipped for battle." Now, in these passages of Scripture, I think we see something very characteristic of God throughout the ages, comforting to us and amazing. It says, God led his people. He led them out. He didn't lead them this way. He led them that way. God was forging the way through their wilderness on the way to the promised land. And it's interesting to see how he did that in those days. What great miracle attended it. Let's take a look a few verses later. Verse 21 tells us. It says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." Wouldn't that be amazing? Just picture yourselves there. This is something that happened in history. If you are being led out into the wilderness, you don't have to question which way I should go, when I should take up my tent and move, and which time I should sit still, because the fire and the cloud, God's presence, led them along the way. And if you look at Numbers chapter 9, it tells us how specific God was. It says, "On the day that the tabernacle was set up," sometime a little bit later, but in the wilderness, "the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and at evening it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was continually. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, after that the people of Israel set out, and in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel encamped." That was then. What about now? Wouldn't it be great if you yourselves had a fire to lead you, a pillar of fire that would tell you where to go in life? As we walk through a sin-darkened world where it's very difficult to make decisions sometimes, and we ask, which way does the Lord want me to go? We might envy, in a sense, these people of Israel. In the old days, God actually was there. They could see this pillar of fire. When it left, they left. When it stayed, they stayed. They turned to the right, it turned to the right, they turned to the right. I almost feel like saying, when it said he jumped, they said, "How high?" You know, that's from a movie, but at any rate. Wouldn't it be great if you yourselves had a pillar of fire like the people of Israel, God's people of old? Well, what I have to declare to you is a most awesome word today, that God indeed has given you a pillar of fire, and even a better situation than the people of Israel had in the old days, a pillar of fire and cloud to guide you, not just in general, but every day of your lives, in the way that you should go through a world where it's often hard to make decisions and know the path that you should take toward your journey's end. And what is this pillar of fire? Well, this is Pentecost, my friends. We can take a look at Acts chapter 2 and see this fire. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them what? Tongues of fire. Tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you know that of a truth, and I'm not talking metaphorically today, that you have a fire that guides you, a real, living, a true fire to guide you in your life, which is the Holy Spirit. And this was prophesied in the days of the Old Testament. And Peter says this just a little later. He says, "This was what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy," etc. "I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And it shall be that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Are you guys excited about this today? You have a pillar of fire to guide you. Every step of your journey through this wilderness, God, like a mother bear on this Mother's Day, is guiding her or his bear cub through the wilderness, through an unknown territory full of hostile enemies, but safely, surely, every step guiding you to your promised land, greater than theirs, which is heaven. And so you have a better situation than they did. But I could maybe sympathize with you a little bit if you were to say, but man, wouldn't it be better when I'm facing my difficult challenges and my decisions in life that perplex me? I'd really, Pastor, like to have that physical fire that you could see in the Old Testament. Wouldn't it be great? Say amen if you believe that. Wouldn't it be great to really actually see God, a pillar of fire, and he says, go this way, go that way, wait here, anytime you needed to make a decision as to where to go in life. But while you may think that that Old Testament situation was better than yours, let me read to you something from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, in verse 19, in speaking of the Israelites in the wilderness, says this, saying to God, "Thou in thy great mercy didst not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud which led them in the way did not depart from them by day, nor the pillar of fire by night which lighted for them the way which they should go." And then the next verse, "Thou gavest them thy good spirit to instruct them." What do you make of that? The pillar of fire that once led Israel through the wilderness, Nehemiah says, was the Spirit. So if they had the Spirit leading them, guess what? That same pillar of fire, that same Spirit, is now leading you. And whereas you may think it was better for them, what happened with them, with their fire? They didn't have it in their hearts. They just had it out there. And they didn't even want to follow it. They stubbornly, stiff-necked, refused to follow this pillar of fire many times in the wilderness. But you have a far better situation. God has foreseen something better for you. That he would not just give you a pillar of fire out there. But he says, I'm going to take that pillar of fire in the last days, in those great, awesome days before my coming. I'm going to take that fire that was out there and put that fire inside you. That pillar of fire to burn in your hearts, to guide you along the way, so that when it leads from here, you're not going to be stubborn and stiff-necked and refused, but you will follow. And if you think he helped the Israelites then, how much more will he help you at the end of time who have believed in Jesus Christ? So, if you believe that your pillar of fire inside and the Holy Spirit is a better situation, now say, amen. 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 All right, I'll make Pentecostals of you before long. Amen. But now, the next question we'd have, though, I think, would be, but how do we follow him? I mean, I can get it, really, Pastor, if you say, There's a fire. Follow it. You can see it. But how do I follow something that's inside me? How do I see this pillar of fire by faith and know the way that I should choose in a creation that has been so darkened so that it's hard to find our way sometimes? And I'll admit that. Well, what are some of the answers? I'll tell you the world's answer to this. Very popular, I'm sure you know it. You don't know the way? The world's answer is follow your heart. Yeah, you can even say it before I can. Follow your heart. You've heard that, right? In my earlier days, I've had many friends and acquaintances who live this way and even would share that with me. Follow your heart. Your dreams will not fail you. Follow your passions. Trust in your heart. And then Hollywood similarly teaches this. Think of the romantic chick flicks, which some of you husbands on this Mother's Day may be subjected to watch tonight. I don't know. How many of those chick flicks are follow your heart, follow your passions? I just don't feel such and such, or I feel this way. You also have it in children's shows, like one of my favorites from Naomi's list of many movies, Pocahontas, an animated movie. I really enjoy it. But at one point, the old grandmother Willow in there says to young Pocahontas, not knowing her way, listen to your heart, and it will guide you. Same with Pinocchio. Let your conscience be your guide. And of course, all the religions of the world really are most of them are the same way, and this is all the rage in the New Age. Get down to that gut. It'll tell you down here in your instinct which way to go. But I want to ask you this question then. Is that reliable? Follow your heart in all things. Is that reliable? Well, for the friends and acquaintances I had in days gone by, looked at the way they did that, and it justified all manner of sins. Living together, sex outside of marriage, wrongdoing, other types of wrongdoing, white lies to get advantage, can all be justified by the heart. It can feel okay about it and make it sound good. I think of Pocahontas and her, you know, listening to Grandmother Willow. Listen to your heart, you will understand. Kind of a neat song. But what is this? What happens to her at the end of the movie, following her heart? She's calling on the spirits of the wind, spirit of the eagle, and all these other things to help her run faster. Wrong, okay. By the way, the real Pocahontas was a Christian. You can see her baptism in some of the prominent places of White House, or of the Washington. But so movies are like that. The New Age, similarly teaching these things. There's a book, Conversations with God. Heard about that? And Conversations with God for Teens. This is a guy who says he hears God in his heart. What's God say? With respect to sin, God or his heart says, what do you need forgiveness of sins for? There is no sin. Therefore, there's no need for forgiveness. All by listening to his heart. And even Pinocchio, let your conscience be your guide. Paul says of the last days that the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by giving heed to deceitful spirits through the pretensions of liars whose consciences are seared. And so, get this into your hearts, my friends. Believe this today. The Holy Scriptures say, in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? So, the heart by itself alone is not a reliable guide for how to walk through this wilderness, which you and I are in right now. You want to know the way to go. God says, beware the heart. It can justify just about anything as right. And every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. In Proverbs 26, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. All right, we don't want to be fools today, do we? Let's learn about wisdom from God. How do we follow this fire, this pillar? Well, in John chapter 14, says this. You with me? All right. Whoa, I didn't hear anything. You with me? Okay. Whoa. All right. Jesus says this. These things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Another place it says he'll guide you into all the truth. In other words, how does the Holy Spirit work to guide you? This pillar of fire, he brings to your remembrance all that Jesus has said to you. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is leading you, he doesn't, although he can lead you in many ways, the one way and the principal way under which all of his leading comes is by this holy word. He brings to your remembrance this. He takes this chart, illumines it for you so that it gets onto your mind and onto your heart. And then he uses this word of God in your heart to guide you along life's way according to Jesus' word and God's holy word. Now, I remember just the other week when I was sailing up from Key Largo, and we anchored that night in Sebastian Inlet, just a little south of there, and it was dark. It was the one night when it was definitely into nighttime when we were going to anchor. And by ourselves, we could not really know exactly where we were. And it was important because there were places we can go aground on either side of the channel. We had to know where we were. But how do you know where you are when it's dark all around you? The way we did it is we had a chart lying there on the deck. But how do you read the chart? We couldn't see it. We needed to get a light from below, flashlight, illumine that chart. I could then look at that, see the little blinking green light up ahead, and say, here's where we are. Now we're able to take a turn to the east, go a few hundred yards, and anchor safely. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit works the same way. You don't just feel your heart in any way, but the Holy Spirit is the light God has given you, a pillar of fire to illumine this, so that then when this gets onto your heart and your mind, you can say, ah, in my life situation, now I see where I am. This is where he wants me to go because of this. But I want to challenge you right today. How often do you get yourself by this chart? If he is there to illumine you, praise God, you're here to hear the preaching today. How about at home with your Bibles? How about on Wednesday night Bible studies or other Bible studies you might go to? You need to put yourself in the way of this chart, which the Holy Spirit then illumines and shows you the direction that he wants you to travel. But then I have this one more question here today. Does that mean that Christians can't follow their hearts at all? Is this just something we should just shove under the carpet like dust and forget about it? What do you think? You know what the scripture says of your hearts? 2 Corinthians 1 says, God has put his seal upon us and given his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in your heart, right? And Galatians 4, because you're sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit lives inside you, in your hearts. And I tell you, you can follow your hearts if your hearts are filled with the Word of God and under the command of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it says in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And how does this work? You're going through life. You need to make a decision. You need to know which way to go. Darkness has fallen over God's creation, so to speak, and you can't see which way to go. But when this chart, this word, is filling your heart, as you go, the Holy Spirit in you takes this word which you've memorized or read or heard and brings it to your mind, to the surface, and says, this is the way. Walk in it. This direction you should go. And that way, he sometimes convicts you when you're going the wrong way. David, in 2 Samuel 24, it says, when he sinned, it says, David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away my sin. Take away the sin from thy servant. You ever have this happen to you? You're going along in life. You start to make a wrong decision that's not kosher. It's not a righteous thing to do. The Holy Spirit brings up this word and goes, and your heart gets struck. And you go, oh, well, that's the pillar of fire. Saying, that's not the way. Don't walk in that. But how about if you have a dream? God lays something upon your heart that you want to do to glorify God and serve your neighbor. And it's okay according to this. You know what happened with David? 2 Samuel 7. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord. It was just an idea. It wasn't commanded in Scripture that he saw, maybe, but he was just like, I'm living here in a palace, the tent, the Ark of the Covenant's in a tent. I want to. It's a desire that is on my heart. It's burning within me. I must do this. He asked the prophet, and the prophet Nathan said to the king, go and do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. You see, a heart that's filled with the Word of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If you have a dream today, if you have a dream that God has laid on your heart, a way you desire enthusiastically to serve Him, if it is in accord with God's holy word, to glorify God and serve your neighbor, follow it. You can follow your heart's lead in that case, the pillar of fire. But you say, Pastor, what if I'm wrong? What if this dream is not the Lord's dream? What if this boat ministry I have in my mind was not the Lord's intention? Well, you know what? God's powerful enough to cover that too. It says in Proverbs 16, a man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. He's going to make sure. You're trying to serve him. He's going to make sure that you're in the right place. You trust in the Lord with all your heart, he will make straight your paths. So rejoice today. And the final thing I have to say then is this. The main thing that this pillar of fire inside wants to lead you to is to Jesus Christ. That's all that this book is about, and that's all God wants for you, is he wants to empower this message in you and through you, pointing to Jesus. Because we're not just about philosophers here. We're about a relationship with our God who's made us, who has redeemed us in Christ, and points us to the man who says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Have you believed in the Son of Man who has died for your sins and risen again from the dead for your salvation? This is the one the Holy Spirit now proclaims in me to you. And you're hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. He's saying, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the lover of your soul, the redeemer of your spirit, the one who has come to bear your sins, carry your iniquities, lift you up, give you a comforter, and to guide you through this wilderness unto his home in heaven above. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, Isaiah 30. But your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. So I conclude with this word from Nehemiah chapter 9. Lay it to heart, my friends. Thou in thy great mercies didst not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud which led them in the way did not depart from them by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, which lighted for them the way by which they should go. Yes, thou gavest them thy good spirit to instruct them. And God has given you his Holy Spirit also. Amen.